All right, so our topic today is how many days of Yom Tov should one keep when visiting Israel? Okay, we're not talking about people that live here now. The answer to that is very clear. The answer is how many days, if you live here, do you keep of Yom Tov? One day. Okay. What's not so clear is how many days do you keep if you're just visiting. You live in Chutz Laretz, anywhere outside of Israel, and you come to visit Israel for Yom Tov, for the year, for a month, whatever it is. The question is, how many days should you keep? Now, I'm not going to come here to tell you now how many days of Yom Tov you should keep, because I'm assuming you guys already figured that out earlier in the year, either for Sukkot or for Pesach if you were here, or for now, you know, I'm assuming nobody's still trying to figure out how many days to keep. However, okay, what I do want to do is I want you guys to be a little bit more familiar with the reasons why there might be a concern, not a concern, there might be grounds for keeping 2 days and why there might be grounds for keeping 1 day, because many people do different things. It's a bit of a hot button issue because a lot of people, you know, want to keep 1 day, but maybe really 2 days is better. I think whatever you do, you should be aware of the reasons why that reason, that side makes sense, and understand some of the advantages and disadvantages and, you know, what's behind it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You guys want to tell me what you've all been doing or what you're planning on doing over the past year?
One.
How many of you kept 1 day? Most of you?
Yeah.
Anybody keep 2 days?
I did 1.5.
1.5 days. Okay, good. And the rest of you kept 1 day? Yeah? Yeah, 1 day. Okay. Did you guys get told by somebody here or somewhere else to keep 1 day, or you just decided on your own?
I asked my parents.
Parents? Mm-hmm. Rav, at home, not here. Parents. Got it. Anybody ask anybody here? Nobody asked any people here. Did they I think they don't tell you what to do here, right? Raphael and
yeah,
don't.
They won't. But
don't
say I knew who both of them too.
Okay. Okay, good. All right, so let's get started here. Ready? So let's start at the beginning. Okay, why in the world do we keep 2 days in the first place in Chutz Laretz? What is that based on? When the Torah talks about keeping Pesach and Shavuot and Sukkot, how many days is Pesach, let's say? In the Torah, how many days is Pesach? Shivat Yamin Tochal Matzot, right? 7 days, right? You agree? Sure? Okay, great. 7 days is Pesach. How many days is Sukkot? This one is a little more tricky. Eight, because... Yes, she got it right. Now you got to explain it. You don't know. Oh, come on, you do know. Just think for a second. Good, so Sukkot itself is 7 days. There's an extra day of Shmini Atzeret right afterwards, which is sort of connected. It's sort of the same, it's sort of not the same. But you have 8 days altogether as part of Yom Tov. Good. How many days is Shavuot? One day, right? The Torah talks about Shavuot as, what's it known as in the Torah? Anybody remember? There's a few different names that it has. Shavuot is not the official name of the Torah, though it does mention that word.
Is it called Shavuot
Chayitim? Not directly. It's either called Yom HaBikurim, Chag HaAsif, you know these terminologies? This kind of stuff you do when I'm like second grade, so hopefully you knew it somewhere in the back of your mind, right? But what is Yom HaBikurim? How many days is Yom HaBikurim? 1 day, right? Okay, again, the Torah has a whole interesting presentation of Shavuos, which we're not going to go into now. That doesn't really discuss Shavuos as like commemorating Matan Torah. It never actually says that Shavuot is the day that we remember the day that the Torah was given. Again, not for now, but there's actually a discussion of what is the date of Shavuot? Let me ask you this. What date was the Torah given? And we know it was in the month of Sivan, right? Which date of Sivan was it?
The first or the second?
The sixth or seventh.
So that's what I was looking for. Very good. It's actually a machloket in the Gemara. Was the Torah given on the sixth day of Sivan or the seventh day of Sivan? Okay, which day do we celebrate Shavuot is? Anybody know? Sixth day. Okay, we celebrate the sixth day. But it's machloket in the Gemara which day it was. Okay? And it's a whole big discussion. You know, there's no date given in the Torah. It's very strange. Okay, the whole thing is very strange. That's not our topic for now. We're not going to go into that now. Maybe somebody will talk about that on Shavuot here, Shir to our Torah or something. Really, really interesting discussion about that. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that on Shavuot we celebrate the giving of the... Come on, guys, this year. Giving of the Torah, right? We celebrate giving of the Torah. When is the Torah supposed to be, you know, our main thing? Is the Torah just on Shavuot or is the Torah every day? Every day. So maybe that has something to do with it, that we don't really care which day it was, because the idea of receiving the Torah, the giving of the Torah to us, sort of, you know, transcends a day. It's more of an all encompassing thing. So it doesn't really matter which day it was. It's more about how do we deal with the Torah today? How do we use it? Okay, again, that's a nice part, so you can talk about some other time, not for now. But just be aware, it's a really, really interesting issue. Okay, great. So now, we know that in the Torah, all these holidays were 7 days, 1 day. In Chutz Laaretz, how many days of Pesach do we keep?
Eight
days. How many days is Shavuos?
Seven.
Two, right? Where did the extra day come from? Just appeared out of nowhere. It decided that we love Yom Tov so much. It's so nice that cheesecake. Oh my gosh, staying up all night. I guess that you only do once, but you know, the not eating chametz matzah. My gosh, I can't have 7 days. Is just not enough. I need the eighth day. How did it happen? Where did it start from? Yes.
Is it because like people outside of Israel didn't know when Yom Tov
ended? Exactly. Exactly. Okay. Okay. Good. One step by step. Step by step. Okay. So let's look at it this way. All right. How do we determine the calendar? I mean, how did they used to have the calendar in the times of, let's say, the times of Chazal and even before Chazal, in biblical times? Where did they decide what month it was? The moon. Good. So we have a lunar calendar, right?
I feel like somebody would come to the basement about...
Great. Okay, hold on. So first step by step. The calendar, the Jewish calendar follows the moon, correct? There are certain things that follow the sun, but in general, the months follow the moon, correct? Okay. It's based on the new moon. Again, you go outside, you notice the day of Rosh Chodesh, which is tonight. Okay, tonight is Rosh Chodesh. If you look outside tonight, will you find the moon? Even if you look really hard all night, stay up all night for Rosh Chodesh to look for the moon, you won't find it, right? It's not there. Where is it? It's covered up. Okay, again, the science behind that we're not going to get into now. Okay, but we know the moon is not there. That's what Rosh Chodesh is all about. The whole month is the lunar month, correct? Good. So if the calendar is a lunar calendar, right? So how did they decide when it was the new month? Did they just say it arbitrarily? What did they do? And they didn't have fancy science, you know, advanced technology back then to tell you, you know, exactly. How did they decide?
They had two witnesses.
Oh, good. So the truth is actually in the Gemara, there actually is a formula. They actually did know. They had a tradition of exactly how one cycle began. It's like, you know, 29 point something, 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 something. They actually have that formula in the Gemara of how, you know, the exact lunar cycle of the moon going around the earth. What did you say? I don't remember exactly, but the Gemara actually has it very, very close to what the modern scientists say, which is actually pretty amazing. They had a tradition that's one of, you know, not proofs, but one of the things that people say to show that, you know, that there were, yeah. Again, I can't tell you that it proves it, but it's pretty amazing. Okay, again, maybe the Greeks had it also, but still, it doesn't matter. Okay, they knew pretty well. But at the same time, what did they?
Greeks stole from the Romans.
Is that true? No, I think the Romans stole from the Greeks, actually.
Pardon me.
Yeah, get your facts straight. but whatever it is, that's not the way that halachically it worked. Halachically, the way that they determined the new month was by the witnesses. Okay, the witnesses came to Yerushalayim, to the Beit Din HaGadol, to the Sanhedrin, and they said, "We saw a moon. When did you see it? What did it look like? Okay, where were you?" And they'll ask them like 25 different questions. So they succeed in answering all the questions, and the Beit Din is convinced that they really saw the moon. So what happens? What do they declare? They declare that day is Rosh Chodesh. Again, this is all the subject of discussion in the Gemara. We're not going to go into it now. That day is Rosh Chodesh. Excellent. Okay. So then what happened? That's very nice. Now in Yerushalayim, in the Beit HaMikdash, they all knew what day was Rosh Chodesh. But how did all the people living, you know, far away in, give me a name of a place, Tveria, let's say. They didn't have a community television back then. In, where else? Even Hebron, anywhere else. Okay. Tzfat, if they had Tzfat back then. How did they all know? And they didn't have, you know, modern instant SMSing and emails and WhatsApp groups and all that kind of stuff. How are they going to know? Right? Who told them?
So they send someone.
What'd you say?
They send someone.
Okay, good. So basically, all right, so there was two ways of doing things. Let's look at the source sheet here, okay? Look at source number one. Before we get to the messengers, there was another way they used to do, another thing they used to do. You guys know what it is? You probably know. You probably heard of it. Let's look. Source number one, Bar Yishona, this is a Mishnah, Mesachet Rosh Hashanah. Bar Yishona, you Masi and Masuot. Okay, originally they used to be Masi and Masuot. Anybody know what Masuot are? Masuot is the word they use for torches. Anybody remember this? How did it work? You know this, right? They use torches, bonfires, right? Not just a Lag BaOmer, right? Every month. How did they do it? They went up onto one hill, okay? It got dark. They light a big fire. And then the next hill down the road over there, okay, what do? They saw the fire, and they already knew it was around the time of Rosh Chodesh. They would have been waiting for it. Oh, there's the fire. It must be Rosh Chodesh tonight. Okay, then they lit their own bonfire, and then went to the next hill, okay? And somehow it got all the way to all the outlying areas of Eretz Yisrael. And pretty cool. How long do you think it took to do that? I don't know, but it's pretty fast, actually. Pretty fast, within a couple hours. That's what I would think. Why didn't they just use lights? You know, turn on street lights? They didn't have street lights, right? They had bonfires. That was the way they used to do it. But today, understand this, this is very interesting. Today, if you like try to do that and you know look down that way or whatever, it's not going to be as powerful because there's so many other lights out there. But if you actually turn on one light, let's say it's pitch black, go to the negative, okay, where it's totally dark. All right, on the way to a lot, I've done this many times, you can see. Now, they just stop for a second. Right? Even when you're driving, you can see, like, okay, look all the way down that way, you know, like 5 kilometers away. If there's one tiny little light, you're going to see it. You know why? Because it's pitch black, and you see a little light, okay, travels a long distance. Pretty amazing, actually, if you think about it. That's what they used to do, all right? And it makes sense, even if the mountains were pretty far away from each other, so you know, relatively quickly they were actually able to, again, assuming there were people on all the mountains, which there weren't, but if there were people within a few kilometers of where you know the first person was, and then every few kilometers there'd be somebody on the mountain, they would actually be able to do a pretty effective job of telling everybody when was Rosh Chodesh. Great system, right? Yeah. So what's wrong with it? What happened? Something went wrong. System got broken. Right? Broken telephone. And then know what happened? Okay, look at the next line in the source number one. Misha kilkalu hakutim itzkinu she'yu shluchim yotzim. When the kutim basically ruined the system, they messed it up, then they had to make a different decision of what to do. You guys know what the kutim were? The kutim were a group of people which didn't exactly keep Torah Sheba'al Peh the same way that we do. They were like quasi-converts, and they sometimes weren't so nice to the chachamim. And in this case, apparently what they did is they basically messed everything up. There's a different word for it, but it's the same idea. Okay, that word is tzedukim. The same idea. Okay, very similar. It might have even been the tzedukim also. What they did, basically, they wanted to mess up the whole system, so they started putting bonfires out when it wasn't actually the right night. Okay, because they had a different system of what to do. And the Chazal realized that this doesn't work. Okay, we can't do it. If they're going to mess up our system, we can't do this. So what do? It's kinashiyu shluchim yotz, and they sent out the messengers. Now, of course, if you send out messengers, how long does it take a messenger to walk from Yerushalayim, let's say up to the Golan, or down to wherever the southern area was, or out to the ocean? So it takes quite a while, okay? And especially to go to Chutz Laaretz is going to take even longer, correct? There are a lot of communities at that point still in Bavel and in other places. It's going to take a while to get there. So the question is, how are they going to know? Okay, where do they go, and how long does it take for them to know when Yom Tov is going to be? Okay, so look at source number two. All right, this is, we have to discuss this, but let's get the basic idea here. Any place that the messengers got to, okay, within, let's say for Pesach and Sukkot, we'll talk about that. So they would keep one day of Yom Tov, like it says in the Torah, as long as the messengers got there in time. The faraway places, okay, the messengers would not get to inside in time. They would keep 2 days of Yom Tov, because of doubt. They didn't know. Some places were far away, and it took them more than 2 weeks to get for the messengers to get to those places to tell them. So based on that, those people did not know which day was Rosh Chodesh. They knew it was going to be one of 2 days, but they didn't know which one. So therefore, they had to keep 2 days of Yom Tov out of doubt, out of uncertainty. And that's where the practice of 2 days started. Okay, now, this is not so simple here, but yeah, question?
Is this story about, isn't there a story about a place where they weren't sure when Yom Kippur was falling? Or
yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Very good.
What is that?
What is that story? Well, there's a different case. There's one case in the Gemara where they had a debate about which day was Yom Kippur, which is actually not connected to this. It's based on just the question of what the calendar was, what day was Rosh Chodesh and Rosh Hashanah, not based on being in Chutz Laaretz. But, you know, there actually is a discussion in Halacha whether you should keep 2 days of Yom Kippur also, believe it or not. What do we decide? Luckily for us, we do not keep 2 days of Yom Kippur because it would be very difficult.
You have to fast 2 days?
It says that in the Shulchan Aruch there are some people that fast 2 days. Today nobody does it.
They did 3 days.
Where?
Before, I'm sorry.
That's true. How do they do it? I have no idea. What?
You can go
for without food. We have to drink as much harder, especially in heat like this. They say it's about, you're outside in Fahrenheit today, it's about 90 to 95 here in Yerushalayim. Where I live, it's over 100, which is like 39 degrees Celsius, something like that. Yeah, it's also in Yabinimin, where I live, it's about 102, which is about 39 or so.
I was like 45 or 50, I think, one time down south.
Yeah, it's in a lot, it can get even hotter than that. It's pretty scary. Anyway, so yeah, in that type of temperature, you're not going to go very long without drinking. Anyway, okay, so that's what we have so far. So we have them keeping 2 days. Now, the question you might ask me, which is what I thought you were going to ask me, is, well, let me ask you a question. Okay, which one is farther?
I was going to say, you only keep 2 days for the first one, because the second one you get there later, so...
What about the second one?
If he doesn't get there in time,
right,
then they've already missed what was Rosh Chodesh.
Right, but they know at least from now on, they know what to do for after that.
Right.
Okay. They're going to keep it for afterwards.
But what's the... keeping the 2 days...
Yeah.
What does that have to do with him getting on time or not on time?
If the messenger didn't get there, they don't know which day was declared Rosh Chodesh. Again, it's going to be one of 2 days. They know that the moon is, you know, one of the 2 days will be the first day, because the moon, the lunar calendar, you know, is, you know, is...
So do they start keeping before he gets there?
If the Yom Tov comes before the guy gets there, they're too far away, so then they're going to keep the 15th of Yom Tov as Yom Tov and the 16th as Yom Tov. So again, Pesach and Sukkot. Shavuot is a whole different story. Why is that? Just take a guess. What? Meaning in terms of the 50 of messengers,
they don't know which.
It's different. That's definitely true. Meaning it could be for Shavuot, even some places in Israel they couldn't get there in time because it was like the sixth day of the month. It's much earlier. But the difference is Shavuot is different, because what are we calculating Shavuot based on?
The Omer,
correct? Meaning the way we do it today is that you count the Omer based on that, and based on 50 days from the second day of Pesach, that's going to be Shavuot, and that they already knew from the month before. Understand? Why do we keep 2 days of Yom Tov on Shavuot? That's a good question, right? Alright, we'll get back to that later. You can think about that question. You have the question? According to that, Shavuot, we should keep 1 day, right? Because everybody knew from Pesach which day was the first day of the Omer. They might have not known about it until a few days afterwards, but by the beginning of Sivan, they for sure knew. Okay, that was a whole month and a half later, they for sure knew. So why are we keeping 2 days on Shavuot? Again, not here necessarily, but certainly in Chutz La'aretz, as far as the last time I checked, they still keep 2 days, right? I think. At least in Orthodox shuls. So, why are they doing that? Think about that one. Get back to me afterwards to see an answer. All right. Let's just say it simply like this, okay? The question I was going to ask you is, well, let's say they went to Eilat. So Eilat is farther away than, let's say, like right across the border in Jordan. So why then in Chutz La'aretz do we keep 2 days, and in other parts of Israel, which are farther away, we keep 1 day? So the answer is actually not so simple, but the bottom line is that the halacha, as we followed, is that it was just decided that because most places in Chutz La'aretz are very far away, they decided that everywhere in Chutz La'aretz you keep 2 days, and everywhere in Eretz Yisrael you keep 1 day. Okay, that's the opinion of the Ritva in Rosh Hashanah, who's one of the commenters. The Rambam seems to disagree, actually, which we saw before. We're not going to go into it now. The Rambam actually might say that in Eretz Yisrael, if the messenger does not get there in time, even in Israel you keep 2 days. Okay, and we're not going to go into that now. But again, something interesting to be aware of, our halacha as we follow Chutz La'aretz. Okay? Great. Are everybody with me so far? This wasn't so hard yet, right? Okay. Next step. Today, do we have a calendar today? Do we still follow the messengers and the witnesses or whatever? No. How do we do it today? What is it based on?
Signs.
What?
We have a calendar. Like
right, so where did the calendar come from? So the answer is somebody made a calendar for us. Somebody very nice. Okay? Anybody know who it was? I won't know. So it was one of the Amoraim in the time of the Gemara. His name was Hillel HaNasi, not the original Hillel that we know of, Hillel and Shammai, a different Hillel. Okay. So he actually was the one who made the calendar as we know it today. And it's pretty amazing that it still works. Okay. But he knew what he was talking about. He knew his stuff. And basically he made a calendar that should last after they didn't have a Sanhedrin anymore, and they wouldn't be able to use the witnesses and the whole business. So today the calendar that we have actually follows his calendar from 2,000 years ago, or whatever, how many hundred years ago it was. And today we know what days they are. Okay, we know what the days are, the 15th of the month and everything else. We don't need the messengers anymore. So what's your question? So Panina asks, if that's the case, right, so why in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Israel, okay, do we still keep 2 days of Yom Tov? We know which day it is. We don't need the witnesses anymore. We have a calendar. So why are you forcing me to sit there on the second day next week in Chutz La'aretz on Monday, and not turn on my phone, and not turn on my computer, and not turn on my oven, and whatever it is, why'd I have to sit there and have Yom Tov? So if you ask me, I like it. I think it's nice. I enjoy Yom Tov, but not everybody likes it so much, you know? So why do you want to have another day? And you can't also, make up a new day out of nowhere. So why are they still doing it? Anybody know the answer? Who asks this question? Everyone! Who was the first one to ask this question? The answer is, look at source number 3. What's source number 3? It's the Gemara. None other than the Talmud Bavli. The Gemara itself asks this question. What does the Gemara say? A very famous Gemara. Hashtaya de'adinan be'kviya de'yarcha, my time of dinan treyome. What that means is, now that we know the kviya de'yarcha, that's like the establishment of the calendar or the moon, we know the calendar, What is the reason why we keep 2 days in Chutz Laretz? What's the point? So the answer is Mishum Deshalchol Mitam, because they said they sent from the west. I mean, basically, they told them the messengers came from Eretz Yisrael, and they told them, Hizaru b'minigar otechem b'yedeichem. You should keep, be careful to keep the customs of your ancestors, of your forefathers. Dimnan degazer shema shamdav atila kolkule. Because maybe what's going to happen is that the government, the local government, will make decrees against the Jews. They will not be able to use their calendar that they calculated. They'll get all confused, and then they won't know which day it is. Okay? And based on that, they say to keep 2 days. So the Gemara already was telling us, even in the times of Chazal, that you need to keep 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutz Laretz because you have to follow the customs of your ancestors who really didn't know how, which day it was. Even if we know today, do it just in case. And that has become a minhag. Okay? So that's what we follow today. We follow the Gemara that says that even if we know today what the calendar is, we still keep 2 days in Chutz Laretz. Okay? Now who doesn't follow that today? Reform, I think conservative maybe do. Actually, I don't know what conservative does anymore, but Reform definitely does not follow that. Reform keeps 1 day. Why? Because they say, well, the reason's dropped, so what do we need this for anymore? Okay? What about the Gemara? So what? You know, we don't need it. The Gemara doesn't really matter. I mean, if it doesn't make sense, then we don't need to do it. You could just drop it. Even if the Gemara says we're still supposed to do it. Okay? But Orthodox Jews all keep 2 days of Yom Tov and Chutz Laretz. Correct? Okay, great. Now we come to our question. Okay? That's very nice when you're in Chutz Laretz. What do you do if you live in Chutz Laretz but you're visiting Eretz Yisrael? Should you do what you do in Chutz Laretz every other time and keep 2 days? Or keep 1 day, which is what the practice is in Eretz Yisrael? Now, don't tell me what you do now, but tell me what you think. Anybody have any ideas? Which do you think would be right and why? Yeah?
But if you're keeping the custom of your ancestors, mm-hmm. I mean, you should keep 2 days. If you want to keep 2 days.
Okay.
Anyway.
Okay. You said you keep one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. I like that. Be honest.
The customs of your ancestors,
yeah.
And the customs is in Israel to keep 1 day.
Oh. Good, okay, also a good point. Good.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, if you keep the customs because of, like, where you are geographically, then you should keep what they would have done if they were in Israel.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Excellent. So let's see what we have to say, okay? But all what you all said is correct, okay? I mean, as we know, there are different opinions already. The question is, which logic makes more sense? Okay, so let's go through some of these sources here, and let's see what some of them say, and you can figure out, again, this is not the kind of thing you should decide for yourself. I would say the most important thing about this topic is not what you do, it's how did you get to the decision, okay? Meaning, personally, if you ask me, I think it's very important that you can't just decide on your own, and it seems like none of you did. You need to ask somebody, and it may not be just asking your parents. Your parents really should be asking somebody else, and probably they did. I'm not going to ask every one of you, but you know, most responsible parents won't just decide on their own. They realize that there's a question here, and what they really should do is ask their rabbi. Okay, ask some rabbi. Okay, it's not really the question, even though I'm telling you there are different opinions, and they are all have legitimacy in some form, but because it's a bit of a controversy, you can't really just make up your decisions and just decide what you ever want to do on your own. You really have to follow the opinion of somebody who's studied the sources, and not just these sources. There's a lot more sources where these came from, and really is, you know, steeped in the understanding of what's going on here that can really give you a very, you know, well-informed decision. So the best thing to do is, again, either ask a rabbi, or if your parents asked a rabbi, so then they'll tell you what the rabbi said. Okay, that's really the most important thing. I don't care what you do, but the question of why you're doing it, that's really the more important thing. Okay? Everybody got that? Okay, that's my 2 cents here. Now, let's look at the different sources and see. So, to be honest, okay, the vast majority of Rishonim, okay, this was already discussed, by the way, in the time of the Rishonim, already 500 years ago, this question was discussed. Why was it discussed? Because even in the 1500s, believe it or not, there were Jews that came to Israel for Yom Tov. It wasn't as common as today, obviously, to just get on a plane and come. Then back then, it was a journey of, you know, weeks or months or whatever, but people did it, all right? So the question is, what did they do? What did they do in the time of Rav Yosef Karo? Who was Rav Yosef Karo? You know who he was, right? The author of the Shulchan Aruch, correct. You guys know where he lived? At least most of his life? Most of his life he lived in Tzfat, right? Which is in Eretz Yisrael.
We went to his kever today, and not today.
When?
This year.
Today?
This year.
Earlier this year, right. Today, in fact, you got back now. It's impossible. Not impossible, but very unlikely. Yeah, okay, very holy Jew, right? Rav Yosef Karo. So he lived in Tzfat. People came to Tzfat. Tzfat, at the time that he lived there, was actually like the big hub of Jewish life in Eretz Yisrael. So he has a whole discussion about Jews that come to visit, whether they should keep 1 day or 2 days. Anybody know what he says? Let's look. Source number 4. What'd you say?
Two, right?
You're right. Let's look. Source number four. She'ela hayotze me'aretz Yisrael l'chutz l'aretz. Okay. V'dato lachzor. Im mitpal kibnei aretz Yisrael. V'tam lama ha'olim l'ragel mitpalim parhesa kibnei chutz l'aretz v'ein mochim. Okay, he had two questions here. Question number one is, if you're Israeli and you travel outside of Israel for Yom Tov, what do you do? Which we're not going to focus on today, which is another very, very interesting question. And the bottom line answer is that you don't have to keep 2 days if you're in Chutz Lars, but you can't do Malacha in wherever you are on the second day. Okay? You certainly can't do Malacha in a way that anybody will see you. And even in private, most poskim, though not all, most poskim say that you shouldn't do Malacha even like with the door closed. But you don't have to like daven the whole davening. If you're a man, you don't have to put on tefillin. You should put on tefillin, etc., etc. Okay, we're not going to go into that now. The question number two is, what about the people that come to visit Israel? So he says, why do they daven kivnei chutz l'aretz ve'ein mochin, and nobody says anything? So what does that show you the people were doing? If they were davening like chutz l'aretz, how many days were they keeping, apparently? Apparently they were keeping 2 days. Let's see what he says. Tshuva, he says, I'll tell you the answer. Dabar pashahu, it's obvious, listen to this. It's not just that this is the halacha. He says, it's obvious that what? Dekol shadato lachzor, noeg kemakom shiatzo misham. Anybody who plans to return to the place where they come from should follow the practice of the place where they came from. Afilu l'hakel, even to a lenient extent. Uvilvad shalo yasib ifnei b'nei makom, halach l'sham. As long as you don't do that, if you're being lenient, in front of all the people that live there. Ukomoshim uvar barash perak makom shenagu perak kama dechu. And the Rosh already says, another Rishon, a lot of Rishon say this. Okay, this is based on the Gemara. Okay, the Gemara already says that if you are traveling, and the Gemara wasn't talking about Yom Tov, but the Gemara was talking about a few other things. If you're traveling and you have a certain practice, a certain custom based on the place where you come from, and you go somewhere else where they don't necessarily have the same custom. So let's say for now we're talking about something more stringent. It's a chumrah. You're going to be more machmir. I'm going to be, forbid something that they permit. So what are you supposed to do? Are you allowed to keep the lenient custom of the place that you're visiting, or you got to be strict like where you come from? The Gemara says you got to follow the custom of the place where you come from, if it's strict. Okay? And if it's lenient, you could do it in private. Okay, but not in public. Which again, this requires more discussion, which we're not going to get into now. But basically, he says that's what they did here. The Kehon Shekein Hadavar Pashut Mubuar. It's clear and obvious. Shelo Olam Kol Shadato Lachzur. Anybody that's planning on going back to his original place, meaning back to Chutz Laretz, Anu Roim Oto Kilu Adai B'Makom Shiatzu Misham. We look at him as if he's still in Chutz Laretz. Can you believe that? If you're planning on going back, then you're still a Ben Chutz Laretz. Okay, B'Chol Davar, for all respects. As long as you do it in private. He says, don't publicly flaunt your 2-day status. You should do it in private. Okay. Which, by the way, today, we'll see. Davening, which is in private, you certainly follow the practice of the place where you come from. Since you plan on going back. It's so obvious that I didn't even have to write it. I didn't have to tell you that that was the case. It was so obvious. That was true. V'chein ma'asim b'chol yom, he says, v'chol shana v'shana, every year, olam l'shalosh regalim v'chut barat teretz Yisrael. People come to do aliyah l'regal teretz Yisrael. V'osam yom, osam yom sheni shalgalim. Ketikunav, and they keep 2 days, just like they did in chutz l'aretz. And then we're not going to read the rest of it, but then he says, they actually get together, and they actually have minyanim, a minyan chutz l'aretz, which is what we do today also. Just, he says, they should try to do it in private. Don't do it like in the front main shul and outside in the square. Everybody can see you. Should do it like in a side room or off to the side, which is what people do today. They don't do it in the main shul. Usually they do it in like some side room or downstairs in the basement. It should be a little bit more private. Okay? Anyway, we're not going to go through the rest of it now. Basically what he says pretty clearly, very clearly, is that you should follow the custom of where you come from in Chutz Laretz. And in Chutz Laretz, you're stringent to keep 2 days. You should do the same thing regarding Yom Tov. Okay? Very interesting. There's a few other Rishon that discuss the question also, and they say the same thing. They also say that you should keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Okay, very nice. So that's the Shulchan Aruch, but not in the Shulchan Aruch. That's in his book called the Avkat Ruchel, which is his book of responsive literature. Okay? In the Shulchan Aruch, he doesn't actually discuss the case, believe it or not. He talks about the other case, in source number 5, he says, B'nei Eretz Yisrael Shebo L'Chutz Laretz, what's the halacha for an Israeli that goes to Chutz Laretz? What's the halacha in that case? And there he tells you the halacha. He says what I told you before. Asur l'asot melacha b'yom tov sheni, b'yishuv. In the Jewish community, you can't do melacha on the second day of Yom Tov. Okay? You don't have to keep the Yom Tov in terms of like all the davening, and you don't have to like make another Seder or whatever, but you can't do melacha in anywhere in the Jewish community. Okay? But it doesn't talk about this case. He dropped the case of visiting Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov. Why didn't he talk about it? Think he changed his mind? Maybe he really thinks that you should keep one day? He just didn't discuss it? I don't know. I have no idea. Nobody knows why he didn't talk about it in the Shulchan Aruch. We're not sure. Okay. So what do you do? So most poskim say that you should follow what the Shulchan Aruch, what the Avkan Ruchel said, which is keep 2 days. If you look at source number 6, this is what the Mishnah Berurah says. But he's not the only one. He's just the most famous one. He says, Ben Chutzlar Shabal Eretz Yisrael, if Ben Chutzlar comes to visit Israel, Im Dato Lachzor L'Mekomo, okay, if you plan on going back, Tzarech Lachzor Shnei Yom Tov, you got to keep 2 days of Yom Tov. Okay, then he says, Daven, you know, privately, okay, he says maybe even don't make a minyan, which again today's not done, but today we do make a minyan, but you get the point. Most Acharim are following what the Mishnah Berurah says. The Magen Avraham says this. Many other Yerach HaShulchan, many others say that you keep 2 days. Okay, based on what we saw before in the Afkar Ruch. Okay? Before we go to the other side, do you guys understand the logic of where this is coming from? Okay, the logic does make sense, okay? Meaning, the point is that the customs that you keep where you come from, you're still treated as living there if you're just visiting. Okay? If you're visiting somewhere else, you should still follow the customs of the place where you come from. And if there they keep 2 days, then when you're traveling, you also should keep 2 days. Okay? That's what they get from the Afkar Ruch, who gets it basically from the Gemara, you know, that there is a concept of keeping your customs even while you're traveling. Okay. Yeah.
Like, when are you not visiting anymore? Like, how long do you have to be?
Oh, that's a great question. Okay. You want to discuss that question now? Let's discuss it for a minute. Okay. Let's say that you follow the 2-day approach, which is based on this. Again, many other posts, also many modern day posts, also say that. We'll see in a second. Rav Moshe Feinstein also holds 2 days. If you want to follow that approach, so then when would you be defined as, let's say, a resident of Eretz Yisrael? What do you say? This is practical for you, possibly, right?
Some people say, wait.
Yeah. Well, did you already keep 1 day from beforehand?
Sorry?
Did you already keep 1 day from before?
I kept one.
You kept 1.5. I see. So this actually is practical for you. Okay. What'd you say?
Some people say
what?
If you earn
okay, that's true. That's we don't. Let's not get that far just yet. Let's say for now we're actually going to talk about somebody who's going to live here, who's going to move here. What? Okay. So if you make Aliyah, it's pretty clear, right? But let's say like Dina's here this year. And she's making Aliyah out of the summer, and she's going to stay. So what does she do right now? This Shavuot, let's say she was keeping 1.5 days before that, which we didn't discuss yet.
After the summer, you're going to start keeping that day?
Yeah, after, like, I'm going to live here after the summer.
Yeah, so, okay.
Like, after the summer.
So what do you think, guys? She didn't make Aliyah yet, but is she planning on staying?
Yeah.
She's here. Is she planning on staying? Yeah. Are you going back for the summer for, like, a few weeks, maybe? Yeah, but are you definitely staying?
Yeah.
She's staying. What do you think?
1 day.
So even if you didn't keep 1 day before, there's definitely grounds to say that already now you could keep 1 day. The only thing is you have to be sure that you're staying. Now, it can't just be, and this is, by the way, Rav Moshe talks about in his Jew, which we're not going to get into now, but it can't just be in your mind, oh, I'm staying. You know, it has to be, number one, you talk to your parents. Okay, your parents said yes. Number two, okay, there's a lot of, obviously, you know, a lot of, what'd you say? There's a lot of, you know, bureaucratic work and, you know, papers you got to fill out to say that you're actually making Aliyah, you're actually staying. Okay. Question is, did you fill out all those things yet? Did you decide with either Nefesh B'Nefesh or whoever else, did you actually go through the steps of saying, yeah, I'm officially making Aliyah? What's the answer in your case? The answer is, yes, she did. So most Poskim, I think, would say that in that situation, if she already went through all the steps, she's staying. Maybe she's going back for a few weeks in the summer. Basically, she's here now, and she's staying. And she did all the steps, the bureaucratic steps that make her Aliyah a reality. Most Poskim would say you can keep 1 day now. Again, I can't say everybody would say that, but I think most people would say that. If you ask me, I would say that you can keep 1 day now. You don't have to keep 1.5 days. Okay? Good question. And practice. Yeah?
So make a difference if you have an Israeli citizenship?
If you ask me, I think the answer is no. Why do I say that? Look at the logic of the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning, again, if you're going to follow either the 2-day approach or, let's say, even 1.5 days, what is it based on? We'll get to it in a minute. Okay? We'll get to it. What is the basis for his thing? It's based on what? Daito Lachzor. It's not based on your citizenship, which might be relevant also, but in general, it's based on where do you live. So if you are a proud resident of London, right? Okay, proud resident. Maybe even if you're not proud, but you're a resident, okay? So if you're going back there, even if you have Israeli citizenship, so according to the logic here, and this is what most Poskim say, you're going to keep either 2 days or 1.5 days or whatever it is. You're considered to be a resident of Chutzlars. Okay? Question is, let's say, and this is interesting for also Israelis, let's say somebody who you know, goes on shlichut, and they go for like 1 year, you know this, they stay for 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Yeah, we're coming back. 10 years later, they're still there, you know? They found the good life in the chutz l'aretz. You know anybody like this? There are some people like that. Okay, what do they do? You will find that a lot of them are still keeping one day of Yom Tov even 10 years later because they say they're coming back. Should they really be doing that? I'm not sure. I'm not such a big fan of that. You have to decide at some point, are you really coming back? And they might say they're coming back, but yet they're totally there. It's a question. Okay, it's a question. But in most situations, I would say that it's based on where you live. And if you're comfortably living in Galut, in the Chutzlaretz, even if you're here for a short time or even for a year or two, there definitely are grounds to say that you should still keep whatever you keep. Again, if you're keeping a day and a half or 2 days, you would keep that. Again, if you're keeping 1 day, it's a different story. Okay. Any other questions before we go on to the next part? Good? Okay. So based on this makes sense. The question is, what is the other side? Okay, number one, where did the other side come from? If most poskim say 2 days, who said 1 day? Where did that come from? And number two, what's the logic? Okay, what's the basis for it? So you guys already gave me a little bit of the logic before. It's going to be a little different than that, but that's definitely a large part of it. Okay. Anybody want to add something before we read the other side? No. Anybody know who says it, the other side? Okay, a very famous opinion of a rabbi known as the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, and that's a name you must know. If you keep 1 day in Israel, you must know the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, if you wake up and you're sleeping at 4 o'clock in the morning, why do you keep 1 day of Yom Tov? You must know the Chacham Tzvi. Okay, you might say you might be half asleep, you might mumble it, but you must know that, okay? If you do not know that the Chacham Tzvi is the basis for keeping 1 day in Israel, then you're not allowed to keep 1 day. Okay? You're not allowed to keep 1 day if you don't know the Chacham Tzvi. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. What's his name?
Chacham Tzvi.
Great. Who was he? So I'll tell you his name now. His name was, what'd you say? He was a rabbi. Yes, very good. How'd you guess? Pretty smart. Wow, geniuses. Okay, his name was Rav Tzvi Ashkenazi. Okay, he lived in Europe, I think in Amsterdam, for a large part of his life. And he had a question basically about visiting Israel. He does not even mention the opinion of Rav Yosef Karo. He gives his own opinion. Let's look at source number 7. Okay, again, a very, very, very famous tshuva.
That's a scary thing for a rabbi to do.
What?
Just go off on a limb like that.
Yeah, it's very scary. He just did it though. It could be he wasn't familiar with the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. It's very possible he didn't know about the Avkat Rochel, because that response literature is like it wasn't in the Shulchan Aruch. And it could be he didn't know about it. He definitely did not mention it. He probably did know about the sources in the Gemara, but as we'll see, he explained that he doesn't think that those are related. But it's a little more complicated than you might think. Okay, so let's see if we can understand this. Source number 7. Sha'alta b'nei chutz la'aretz olin l'aretz Yisrael derech aroi. Okay, people that come to visit temporarily to Israel, hechi na'im v'shalosh regalim. How should they practice the Yom Tov? Im kivnei aretz Yisrael, k'nei chutz la'aretz. 1 day or 2 days. So turn the page. Tshuva says, this is the answer. Okay? Nirei la'aniyo dati, that's the Rosh Hashanah. It seems in my humble opinion. Ditzrichim heimli na'eg b'nyanei ha'muadim ke'echa b'nei aretz Yisrael atoshavim. It says, I think they should keep 1 day, they should follow the practice of the local residents of Israel. Now, he says, what about the Gemara we mentioned before that said that if you travel somewhere, you should follow the customs of where you come from? He says, V'ein ze bechlal chumrei makom shiyatza mishan. He says, this is not the same thing as that case. Okay, why not? Let's keep reading. Lo mi baya b'tfilot uvrechot u'kriyat sefer Torah she'ein an chumrot be'etzem. Okay, he says, number one, half of keeping Yom Tov is not about astringency. It's not a chumrah. I mean, the Gemara was talking about a chumrah. Okay, what does a chumrah mean? A chumrah is a stringency. You know what a stringency is?
Yeah.
Stringency means that you are careful to not do something because you think it's either wrong or some people say it's not okay, whatever it is. Okay. Let's say the machluk, whether you can eat a certain type of food. Maybe it's kosher, maybe it's not kosher. You're machmir. You say, I'm going to be machmir. It's a stringency. I'm not going to eat it. I'm going to keep chalav Yisrael. I'm not going to eat milk that was milked by a non-Jew. Okay, which is most of the milk in Chutz La'aretz. Very nice. Okay.
But the milk in London is called Harini milk.
Really?
Why? You know how in Kosher Kingdom they have the milk aisle and it's Harini milk?
That's funny. It's cute, buddy. It's cute. Good. I've never been there. I've been to England, but
it's
not.
In Golden.
I see. Cool. You keep calling yourself? No. Okay. She's not hurrying, I guess. Okay. Anyway, so he says, forget chumras, though. Hey, what do you have to do positively? What's an action that you do on Yom Tov? So you have a meal. Okay, a meal is very nice. You can have a meal any day. That's not a big deal. But what other things do you do that you don't do during the week normally on Yom Tov? You daven. Okay, what do you daven? What does daven include? A lot of brachos. A lot of brachos. Kriyas HaTorah, brachos of Musaf, Shmona Esrei, special Yom Tov Shmona Esrei, a special Kiddush, right? Is that a stringency? Is that a chumrah? No, a chumrah is something that you don't do something because you want to be stringent But there's nothing wrong with not doing it. Okay, even if you were not correct and you didn't have to keep it, did you do something wrong by avoiding to eat that food? No. But here, what's the problem? Okay, he doesn't spell it out, but this is basically his idea. Okay, he's going to say actually, but you know, if you make a bracha when you're not supposed to, did you do something wrong?
Yes.
Think again. Think carefully.
It's a bracha levatala.
Very good. There's a concept called bracha levatala. A bracha in vain is at least a rabbinic prohibition, and maybe even a daraita, a biblical prohibition. Okay, that's very bad. So he says, this is not a chumrah. All the tefillah and the kiddush and the this and that we do on Yom Tov Sheni, he says, it's not a strange thing. It's not really the same thing as what the Gemara is talking about. That's his first argument. Okay? Not a bad argument. Okay? Let's keep going. So he says, he said, that's not really a stringency. If you want it to be stringent, the proof is, let's say that I told you today I wanted to make kiddush with a bracha and I wanted to daven the Yom Tov Shemoneh Esrei today. It's a chura. Maybe today is Shavuot. Okay, maybe today is Rosh Chodesh. All right, I want to be machmir. I love tefillah. Okay, I want to, you know, I'm going to add in all the brachas of the seder. I decided today I want to make my seder. Okay, it's a chumrah. I want to be stringent. You know, a month later, a month and a half later. Is that okay? I can't do that. That's ridiculous, right? I can't start making up times for making brachot. You're not allowed to do that. That's an avera. Okay? He says that's one thing. But there's another point. He says, Ela afilu b'malacha mutarim hein. Okay, that's very nice. That's for tefillah. But what about doing work? What about turning on lights and driving cars and turning on computers and phones and all that kind of stuff? So if I wanted to be machmir about that, could I be stringent and just not do it? Is there a mitzvah that I have to turn on my phone and I have to send messages?
No.
You sure? Some seems to me sometimes that there is, because everybody's always doing it, right? That's what it seems like. But of course not. There's no mitzvah to do that. And sometimes maybe it's good to take a break, correct? Say yes, please.
Yes.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to take a break from your technological life. Okay?
For your
hands.
Off instead of your phone.
For what?
For your turn off instead of your phone.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's, again, it's easier said than done, but it can be done. And I think maybe Shavuos is the holiday we have to think about that. We celebrate the Torah. The Torah is our life. Okay, our life is not our phone. Okay? Even though our phones are important sometimes, but a phone is just a means to an end. The Torah is the end. The means and the end. Okay. So he says, but halakhically, can I tell you that it's usher on the second day? No. He says, I think even that's okay. Why? Listen. She'ilu hayu kol anshei makom she'yatzu misham kam kviusa. Let's say, okay, that you are, okay, who's not making Aliyah here right away? We'll take Rivka, okay? Start with you, whatever. Okay, you're not making Aliyah next year, okay? Let's say that you decided you're making Aliyah. Okay, Mazel Tov. You're making Aliyah, okay? You were going to stay in Chutzlarz, now you're making Aliyah. Wonderful. Okay, you come here, and you say, well, you know what? I love Yom Tov so much. I really, really love my second day. I want to keep giving 2 days. Okay, not just in terms of not having my phone. That's fine. I can turn on my phone, throw it out, no problem. But I want to make kiddush again, I want to say more tefillah, I want to do all sorts of positive things. And I want to be machmir, even just to say that I'm not going to do malacha, because it's Yom Tov, not because I feel like just not having my phone with me, because somebody not nice is trying to, you know, stalk me or whatever, but because I want to keep Yom Tov. He says, can you do that? Can you make another day of Yom Tov, even if it involves not doing work? You can't do that. You know why? There's a prohibition. You know what it's called? Adding things to the Torah. You know what it's called? Called Baal Tosif. Okay, heard of that? Baal Tosif. Means you cannot add mitzvahs to the Torah. You can't make up a new rule which didn't exist before. So if you told me I'm coming to Israel and I want to make Aliyah, but I'm keeping 2 days, can you do that? Are you allowed to do that?
No.
No, absolutely not. You cannot keep your second day. You're not allowed. It's Baal Tosif. So he says, if you would come and if you would live here, you couldn't keep the day. He says, that's a proof that this is not an example of something that goes based on where you come from. This is not based on where you live. This is based on where you are. Let's keep reading. Okay. He says, I'll read it again. She'ilu hayu kol anshei hamakom she'yatzu misham kam kviusa. If everybody who came to visit Israel would decide to stay permanently, pshita she'asum hayu lasot yotzer miyom echad, it would be obvious they couldn't keep more than 1 day. Mishum Baal Tosif, because of Baal Tosif. Okay. Shari hayashim b'shmini b'sukkah loka, the Gemara says, and if you sleep in your sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, you actually get malchut. You can't do that. We eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret and Chutzlarz, but we don't sleep in the sukkah. Okay, again, that's another discussion. But the point is that it's not really sukkah. Sukkot. Okay, if you make Pesach into 8 days when it's supposed to be 7, or 9 when it's supposed to be 8, that's Baal Tosif. You can't do that. Okay? He says here also that's not That's the rule. The rule is you cannot make another day of Yom Tov, even if you're visiting. V'lo amru no nilav chumri makom shatsu misham. And the only time the Gemara talked about adding a stringency based on where you come from if you're traveling is only el b'chumra shereshayin b'nei makom shatsu zem misham l'inhog chumratam b'makom hanogin kula. Avim yikbu ziratam b'makom halaz. He said that's only the case in a situation where if you wanted to, you could keep your stringency even if you move there. Okay? Let's say in Chutz Laaretz you don't eat, you know, a certain type of food. Okay, let's say you don't eat canola oil on Pesach, okay, as kidneyot. Okay, in Chutz Laaretz, because the OU doesn't hold of canola oil as being permitted. Okay, fine. Come to Israel. A lot of rabbis in Israel say you can't eat canola oil. You say, I want to keep my stringency and not have canola oil on Pesach. Are you allowed to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Even in Israel, there are some rabbis that say you can't even have canola oil. But if you certainly, even the ones that say that you can would say that you're allowed. So if you want to avoid canola oil, that's not a problem. So that's when they say that if you want to keep the stringency of where you come from, if you're traveling, then you should keep the stringency if you're traveling. Okay. But only the case where if you wanted to, even if you moved here, you could continue doing it. But the Chacham Tzvi says it's not relevant in a case of Yom Tov, where if you moved here, you can't keep the second day. You're not allowed to. He says, there the whole concept of keeping the stringency of the place where you live does not apply. And therefore he says, how many days should you keep?
One day.
If they would move there, they would not be allowed to keep their stringency. That's not included. Okay? Again, we're going to skip the rest of it, but you get the point. Okay? He says, the bottom line, the very last line, he says, basically, the hamakom gorim, this is all based on the place where you are and not the place where you live. So wherever you are for Yom Tov, okay, if you are in Eretz Yisrael for Yom Tov, you should keep one day. According to him, if you're in Chutz Laaretz for Yom Tov, how many days would you keep if you're Israeli? Seems like maybe you'd keep 2 days. Okay, seems like it. Again, maybe not. One could argue that point. Okay, that's debatable. But there's definitely, it could be that maybe he would say to keep two, maybe not. Okay, but probably yes, because he would say if you move to Chutz Laaretz, then you got to keep 2 days. Okay. So you can't keep one day only in Chutz Laaretz, you got to keep two. So maybe they're also. Anyway. So that's the Chacham Tzvi. You hear what he's saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So the logic makes sense. Okay, it is understandable. And yet there are some proofs from the Gemara not like that. Okay, the Shulchan Aruch, the Yosef Kara, and many other Achronim seem to disagree. Okay. So they're going to say that even though what he's saying might make sense, but that's not true. They say no. Even if you would move there, okay, even if you would move there, you wouldn't be allowed to keep 2 days. But if you're there now, if you haven't moved yet, it doesn't matter. Okay, you still have the custom of keeping 2 days. You got to keep 2 days based on where you come from. Okay. Rav Moshe Feinstein in source number 8 actually also holds on the 2 days. He holds like 2 days. Okay, we're gonna have to finish up here. He says, I'm not gonna read the whole thing inside. Basically, he was a bacher who was learning Eretz Yisrael who came back to visit, and basically he says he's making Aliyah. He's staying in Israel. He's already been there for a couple of years, and he asks Rav Moshe, how many days should I keep? So you look at the tshuva here. We'll read the first couple of lines. Basically. This is an important point, by the way. Who's supporting it? Who's paying his tuition? His parents. Okay. So let's skip to the next line. This, by the way, this guy now, this Rav, who asked this question at the time, he's now a big yeshiva here in Israel. He had a big yeshiva, American. You were there for 3 years. Now you came back to America. And you think that you're going to move there. You're not sure. You say, I'm making aliyah. I love Israel. I'm making aliyah. But you're not sure why. Who's supporting you? Your parents. And if they tell you you can't go, maybe you won't go. So he says, Kine pashal ani adati da'af b'yotcha b'eretz Yisrael, that even when you're in Israel, hayalacha din ben chutz laaretz. You have to follow the rules of chutz laaretz. And again, how long was he there for? Not the first year. He was there for 3 years already. Rav Moshe says, still, you got to keep 2 days. Etc. That Bachrim that are learning in yeshiva are called, they're coming back. Meaning, you might tell me, well, Rabbi, okay, I'm here for the year. Even if you tell me if I came for Yom Tov for a week, I should keep 2 days, but I'm here for the whole year. I'm like Israeli, right? I almost speak the language, not quite, but a little broken Hebrew there. I know the bus routes pretty well. I'm Israeli, right? I'm here for the whole year. But Moshe is not so fast, Buster. Okay, if you still live in Chutz Laaretz and your parents still support you, if your parents are paying your $15,000 or $30,000 tuition, whatever it is here, you know, however crazy amount it is, if they're paying and not you, then it's based on them and you're still considered to be a resident of Chutz Laaretz. Okay. He says, Uma shechlata b'yutcha shal nisher b'gurshan, the fact that you decided you want to stay in Israel, ain't no klum, is completely irrelevant. As long as you're a bachelor, basically, you're single, and your parents live in America, and again, assuming they support you. Basically, you came back to America because your parents said you got to go to college or whatever. You don't know for sure that you're going to be able to go back right away. Okay? You can talk Aliyah, but you can't do it right away. Your parents insisted on whatever, doing college, whatever it is. Okay? Etc., etc., etc. Okay? And then you skip to the last line. Certainly, if you go back to Chutz Laaretz, for sure in that case, even if you think you're making Aliyah, you got to keep 2 days. This guy, by the way, this rub, the story goes that even for like years and years after he made Aliyah, he was like so scared based on Rav Moshe's psak that like he kept keeping 2 days. Even after he like really made Aliyah for like 10 years, they say he still kept 2 days afterwards because of Rav Moshe was like so strong about it. He was still harif about it. Anyways, that's Rav Moshe. And most poskim, halacha, most poskim that like wrote responsive about this question said to keep 2 days. However, okay, today, the custom is becoming today that many, many people today are keeping 1 day based on the Chacham Tzvi. Okay? He's not the only one. There are a few other rabbanim, a few other poskim that wrote they should keep 2 days, they keep 1 day. Again, there's a rub, there was the Shol Meshev of Nathanson, a number of others that say that maybe you should keep 1 day. But I'd say that, you know, the majority, I'd say like 70 to 80% of the poskim throughout, you know, the halachic history of the past 500 years have said to keep 2 days. Okay? So if you ask me, you're not asking me, I'm not telling you, but if you, those who ask me, I would say that the better custom is to keep 2 days because many more poskim say to keep 2 days. However, you can understand the logic of the Chacham Tzvi makes sense. It really does make sense. So many people would say today, well, if the logic makes sense, even though most poskim say not like that, maybe we should follow the Chacham Tzvi. Again, the problem becomes when people decide to keep 1 day because it's convenient. Okay, well, I mean, in Israel, it makes sense. It's too hard to keep 2 days. That's bad. That's really bad. That's not halacha. Okay, that's my personal feeling, what's good for me. And that's not what halacha is about. Okay, be very, very careful about that. Okay? Anyway, if you've asked the Rav, and the Rav learned this again, he feels the Chacham Tzvi makes sense and is right, you know, kizunter hate, that's fine. Okay? Where does, we'll finish with this, where does 1.5 days come from? What are you saying? Shmuel Salant, excellent. Not Rishol Salant. Shmuel Salant. Okay, he also came from Salant. He was the Rav in Yerushalayim in the beginning of the 20th century. So if you look at my summary here in source number 9, I summarized his opinion. Basically, Shmuel Salant looked at the Chacham Tzvi's opinion. He said, this makes a lot of sense. This makes, I think this is right. But Shmuel Salant, the greater Shmuel Salant, he realized, he said, it's not so simple to just go against like every other posik. It's not so simple to go against Rav Yosef Karo, against the Mishnah Berurah, against the Magen Avraham, against the Aruch HaShulchan, against every other posik that said to keep 2 days, including his own Rabbanim. He said, I can't do that. I can't just say disregard the 2 days. So what did he say to do? He said, let's do a compromise. Let's do a 1.5 days. What does that mean? Does it mean you keep Yom Tov until 12 o'clock and you stop? That's not what it means. Okay. Exactly. Okay, you're machmir on the things that are negative, the stringencies, okay, what we spoke about before. Don't do malacha. So you can comply with the opinions that say, you know, that you could be, you know, to be machmir and not do malacha, and that say that you can't do malacha because it's 2 days. But based on the Chacham Tzvi, okay, you also do not, you don't make kiddush, and you don't daven the davenings. You do the regular chul davening, okay? And you don't add in any brachas, which would be a question of brachal matala. That's what we talk about a 1.5 days. It says here, okay? Which again, it gets a little complicated, because it means basically you have to hear Abdullah all day from somebody who's an Israeli, but at the same time you can't do malacha afterwards.
So why does it finish in the middle of the day?
No. It's whatever you're keeping of not doing malacha finishes the next day after the second day. But during that second day, you don't have to wear like Shabbos or Yom Tov clothes. Again, you don't have to like have a special suda. You don't make any brachas. You basically do everything regular except for malacha.
I met somebody who thought it actually meant like he would take a half and like they ended.
It's understandable. It's confusing, right? It's confusing. So now you know. Now you know better. I'm sure Dina knew that, right?
Named.
You know what a 1.5 days was because you keep it. Yeah. I hope you know what it is. Anyway, so they say Rav Soloveitchik also from the Soloveitchik family. His family also was very into keeping it 1.5 days. He also thought the Chacham Tzvi was right, but he realized it's not so simple to just disregard every other posting that's out there. What'd you say? Correct. But I'm saying those that visited Eretz Yisrael.
Oh, what?
When they visited. Yeah. People that asked him what to do, he would say 1.5 days. And Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, who just passed away recently, that was his son-in-law from the Gush. So Rav Lichtenstein also told people that asked him to keep 1.5 days. He felt just like Rav Soloveitchik, like his father-in-law. And really, the Chacham Tzvi makes more sense, but because there's so many postmen that say to keep 2 days, you can't just disregard them. So again, if you ask me, I would say that even if you say, well, the 1 day opinion is right, it's not simple to just go against much, much tradition. You know, for many years, it's better to at least keep 1.5 days rather than keep 1 day. And again, that's why people that say to keep 1 day today, you just got to be careful that the psak that you're getting of keeping one day is really coming from qualified rabbanim that know what they're talking about, that have learned through these opinions very, very well and really understand them and can really have the, you know, the power to say, well, I look through the sugya and I personally believe that the chacham tzvi makes more sense. I think you can keep one day. Okay. I'll give you a summary here. We don't have to read it now, but if you want to read it here, that Yom Tov Shein Israel by Ray Rothstein, who's a rabbi in America in the New York area. So he has a whole different whole discussion about the different opinions here. You're welcome to read. Again, more interesting question that we're not going to have time to get into now, but has to do with like 2 days. If you keep 2 days, can you ask somebody who's keeping one day to do malacha for you? What if you keep 2 days, but you're with like a group of people in a hotel and they're all keeping one day? Can you switch your opinion? Lots of interesting questions that come up. We don't have time for them now, but if you want to stick around.
Thank you.
Anyway, so that's the story. So again, if you're keeping one day, keep one day, have a good time. But again, just be aware of what it's based on.
Thank you.